Okay, we're back going. I don't know if we're doing the same topic or not.
Kind of depends.
It's Sunday, it's hard to say. People say, oh, it's such a religion all the time. Well, you know, it's a big thing. And, you gotta know that that's the truth. And I'm more concerned about God than I am about a lot of things. I probably could have gotten a lot further in life if I would have been a little less worried about God, a little more worried about something else. But I don't care. You know, so there it is. Alrighty. Ooh, is that a big truck or is that a train? That's a train. She looks like a train. Anyway. And that's what it ultimately ends up being. If you're really interested in exaltation, you really have to be kind of interested in exaltation. It's not something you're just going to trip over, or one day you're going to say, hey, look, there's something inside of a man that says that you can sign up for exaltation. And I meet all the criteria, so I'm gonna be about exaltation, you know. I'll just casually go over there and say, hey, do I qualify? You know, it's like, if you don't know that if you qualify or not, you probably don't. It says, but that's not that you can't start pursuing it. It says, but yeah, it's a pursuit. You know, it doesn't mean a pursuit away from everything else. You know, it's not like, well, you're going to have to give up hunting or Parcheesi to seek exaltation. You go, no. It's not like that. At least not on this level yet. There it is. Like I said, it's not a difficult thing to do, but it's something you've got to do. You know, there's baptism to be done. There's commandments to fulfill. There's trying to be obedient to Christ, and that's pretty much it. But you've got to do it. The people who say it's all about grace, 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 and there's nothing you need to do, and yet there's a whole lot of things that they still say you need to do, and you're going, you're talking out both sides of your mouth, but why don't you just simplify it and say, you know, you don't make yourself into God. That doesn't happen. You show yourself capable of, or willing, or ready. It's not even ready. See, it's really hard to put it into terms that make sense. And that's why I use the aligning with the agenda of God. If you align yourself with the agenda of God and you keep moving forward toward exaltation, then Christ is going to make it happen. That's His promise. If you show promise and you put forth the effort toward that promise, He'll make it happen. And it is. It's 100% Him doing it. But you have to show Him your willingness to do it. And he's put forth the program of how you can show Him that you can do it. And you go, how come it's all about Christ? And you go, because that's how it works. it's simply that. There's almost nothing else to it. Huh, I've never seen a truck out here kind of, it almost doing kind of a security sweep of a train that's sitting here. I wonder if it's got derailed or something, or gotten stuck here, and they're working it over. Interesting. I'm seeing new things. I know absolutely nothing about trains to the point to where I say I don't understand The people who work on trains, people who make trains run and stuff like that, I don't know that I understand the allure of the job, except that it's heavily unionized to the point to where they don't pay Social Security taxes. There is a whole other scheme for railroad employees. It's a whole other universe from a regulatory standpoint. I think it's because it's just been around for so long and so old, and a whole lot of money and power got injected into the railroad business system, everything, really early. And so there is an entire other scheme. And I think that scheme existed before Social Security was around. So that's why they say, well, if you look at tax forms, you'll see it. It's like, what's this other thing about railroads? It's almost like they don't do Social Security. And you go, you know what? They kind of don't. I don't know anything about it. I'm just speculating. But I've always found that my speculations really aren't too bad. Now, I'm usually wrong about some things, certainly, just because I don't know. I don't know anything about it. But when it comes to the big things, it's like, oh yeah, yeah, that makes sense. Or it, you know, no, I'm pretty sure that all the stuff about railroad retirement and stuff like that was among the first really big social program, because it's dangerous. It might not be as dangerous as it used to be, but it's still dangerous. And to make that operate, there were certain concessions that the government was perfectly willing to do. I mean, the government took a ton of land in the West and just basically gave half of that land to the railroads, just handed it over, and those guys sold their land, and that was how they made a lot of money to make railroads happen, was because the railroads owned half of the West, or at least along the right-of-ways to a certain amount each side of the railroad. It was called checkerboard, and the railroad owned half of it, and the federal government usually owned the other half. And, you know, times have changed, things have gone, there's been a lot of dealings on some of it. The railroad sold some of it, the federal government sold some of it. You know, towns sprouted up, and the towns could incorporate and take in those kinds of lands. That has a lot to do with the history of how the West developed in the first place, or at least large parts of it. Anyway, I'm sorry, just about that thing. And like I said, I don't know anything about trains except what little I've read, which is very little, and speculation. But like I said, I don't know that my speculations are really that far off. And it's not because I'm smart or brilliant, as far as I'm aware of. It's just what makes sense to me. And I don't know. Anyway, so here I am. What is today? 23rd of April, 2022. Really amazing to me that I've got recordings that I have done spanning 17 years. Thank you. Whew. I was almost losing it. 17 years. I think I started making recordings when I was traveling a whole lot with New Mexico State University, and that started in December of 2000 and 2004 or 2005? I forget. One or the other. I think it's 2004 because I've got lots of recordings from 2005. Tried some podcasts, and I don't market, I don't advertise. I'm a, if you build it, they will come, which is absolutely stupid. Nothing works that way. If you don't market yourself heavily, it ain't gonna happen. Sometimes lightning strikes, but not very often at all. So yeah, so I just make personal recordings now. You know, I used to do it a little more organized. I don't anymore. And it really has a lot to do with just whatever comes up. So, but you get the impression that I think a lot about religious subjects. Like I said, I don't want to be an apologist for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm just not that kind of a guy. But I just say, you know, when people say things about the church and make accusations about it, you go, you know what? I don't think there's any foundation to what you're saying. You know, when people come up and they said, oh, they're evil, they're patriarchal and stuff like that, you go, you're just saying that because you say that about every institution that you think men run exclusively. It says, and guess what? The upper leadership of the church is almost exclusively men. You know, there's a few organizations that are run by women, but they really don't make, you know, they don't have the keys. And that bothers a lot of people, you know, feminists more than anything else. And you're going, please don't give men an excuse not to be responsible for things. Because we will. We'll just back off and say, you know what? If the women want it that bad, they can have it. And we'll just go down to the basement and play video games. Because they don't, they would just assume we shut up and stayed out of their way. And I think I explained it pretty good. That I really think it has to do with women's innate insecurity and the fact that they don't trust men to make them feel secure. So they have to take it upon themselves. The sad part is it's not fulfilling for them. It does not make them happy. And guess what it ultimately doesn't do? It doesn't make them feel more secure. They end up having to do all kinds of crazy things, and that's why they throw so much authority at government and make everybody beholden to government. Is because if men aren't going to make them feel secure, but you got to be careful, says, because if you take away man's desire to help women feel secure, guess what? You're not going to feel secure. And you can kill yourself empowering government to make you feel secure, but that's not going to fix it either. Women have always held a really interesting source of power, and they usually did it through men, and to some degree it was a sexual thing. And can I be really honest? It worked extremely well, and all the things that have been being done for the last, I don't know, 70, 80 years, maybe a little longer, have done more damage to the real to what I feel are the real needs of women that they should have just left alone. They should have just left it be. It wasn't fantastic, it wasn't perfect, but it worked. And all they've done is destroy it, and it's not working anymore. And it doesn't matter how big, how powerful, how invasive you make government, it still is not going to fulfill the need for security, love. There's a whole lot of things tied up in what women really, really want out of everything, life, things like that. They want to be adored by men. And they're doing it wrong. You know, the up-and-coming generation is getting so sexualized, which I think is hilarious, because they all say, I'm a feminist. And you go, you dress like a slut. And you put you apply makeup like a slut. And you sit there and say that this is female power. And you go, no, it's not. It's that because you're just... Men aren't behaving the way you want them to behave. The ones that are getting engaged with you, all they want to do is, and the term is, tap that. It doesn't mean that they want to get married. It doesn't mean that they want to do any of that. Now, I'm not saying that there isn't an inborn need in both of the sexes to have marriage and to get what marriage provides for both men and women together. Of course, that's all being distorted and screwed up by other groups saying that they must have marriage too. You know, and guess what? It doesn't provide what's needed. It doesn't make women feel more secure. It doesn't make men feel more needed, required, fulfilled, whatever. Nobody's getting fulfilled out of this at all. Everybody's just confused and upset. And it's like, yeah, it's been screwed up. We've generated a group of people that don't know how to work this out. And what they've come up with for potential solutions to this only make matters worse. Homosexuality is not a solution. It is a symptom of a social disease. And it doesn't fix anything. Everybody who goes into it comes out of it really dissatisfied on 100 levels. It's just like I said. It's that men have some physical sexual needs, and guess what? Another man can do a reasonable job of at least taking care of that sexual need. Women can't make it happen for other women. That it doesn't work. I'm sorry. The whole lesbian thing is just, I'm sorry. I can't see how it could be on any level unsatisfying. Except that women can talk themselves into saying that they're okay when they're really not. And since society doesn't want men to be responsible, since society doesn't want men manning up, to put a term on it, homosexuality is rampant. Absolutely, just totally crazy rampant. Because it is. Men have no purpose. There is no purpose for men in being anymore. Women stripped it away. We don't want you anymore. We don't like the way you are. And you go, okay, well then, bye. you know, people go, oh, look, my kids, my boy staying down playing video games all the time. And you go, what else is he supposed to do? He has no purpose in our culture anymore. You don't need him. He says, but the funny thing is, yes, you do need them, but you're not producing them anymore. And women aren't going out and making it all worthwhile, making men say, I go out, I work hard, and I do what's needed, and I go, you know, and I make the trash runs, and I go and I fix the plumbing, and I go and work at a factory, or I go and I work at a really stressful job, and I come home to my family, who brings purpose to all this effort that I have to put in, and all the drive I have to do to try to improve myself and try to make more money, is to do all this. If you're doing it, if you don't have a family, the drive goes away. And you start saying to yourself, why am I killing myself? Why am I doing all this? You know, if I've got a good job, I've got enough money, I can start slacking off. Or I might not need that job anymore. I can go live out in the freaking, you know, I can go live out in the desert and do nothing. And that's boring, but, you know, and you're going, yeah, here we go. He's dissatisfied. And these women who go and they've decided that the way you get a husband, or the way you get the security that a husband provides for women, is by going and getting knocked up a lot and then trying to trap guys into doing this, instead of helping him take care of his needs and you getting your needs taken care of, and it all kind of working together, and we all have kids, and, you know, and we grow old together, and we have all these wonderful visions in our head of how it's going to work, and it's, you know, and we don't get all of it, but we get some of it, and that's good enough, and, you know, instead of all that happening, women get a whole bunch of kids. They've taught men not to be responsible for the kids. That's my child. You don't tell me how to parent my child. You're going, oh, it's not my child? Okay, great, bye. I'm going to go and get on my jet ski and have a good time with my buddies and get drunk, because that's fun. It's a whole lot more fun than sitting around listening to you bellyache about how evil I am and about how much I don't do what you want me to do. And you go, oh, Jesus, you guys are screwing up on so many levels. It's painful. Absolutely painful. All right, I got to get some gas. So I'm going to keep the recording going. I just won't say anything. Because I got to take care. Ooh, I'm on the wrong side of everything. Here. Oops. What am I doing? I know, I look like an idiot. I spent a lot of time looking like an idiot. It's part of my job. No, it's not. But I'm pretty good at it, so. How about that? Alrighty.
Thank you.
back and getting down the mountain there, going toward the crash site. Forget what we were talking about. I'll come up with something else to talk about. Have no fear. So we got gas at a really good price. Sunday, that's always when the best prices are. That's also why I talk about religious subjects on Sunday when I go driving, because a couple of deer, jeez, didn't hit them, didn't hit me, I'm happy. Okay, because it's Sunday, and this is the day to put things of God first, so that's what I'm doing, putting God first. And I don't talk about work, because frankly my work is to be talked about, and that's fine. I know I could talk a lot more about it, it's not like I've got some huge gag order on me, but yeah, just why bother talking about it? Set my dude for 8 hours a day, nine hours a day, and someday I'll stop doing it. And I'll do something else. And I don't know what that'll be. I don't know what I'll write about, because frankly, what's the point of doing the writing? It's just not that big of a deal. I take a lot of cues from my father, and I think Dad's got it pretty well worked out. I think he's been retired for a while. And I think that he knows how to be retired pretty well. You know? He gets himself a couple of projects to work on. He works on those projects. Doesn't spend a lot of money on them. And he does that. You're going, that's probably what I'm going to do. I'm working on my amateur radio hobby. Trying to get back into it a little bit better, a little bit more. I've actually been an amateur for quite a while. The story of it, if you're interested at all, and that's the thing to do, I was working in New Mexico State, and what they had done is they had just dropped the Morse code requirement. I don't know how long it really was between them dropping the Morse code requirement and me going ahead and going and getting my license early. Once it just became a test to take, I'm a pretty good bluffer of testing. And it's not because I can bluff it really good. It's because most things are... most things are reasonably logical, and you can kind of figure out when a test... Because they have to give you three wrong answers and one right answer. These are mostly multiple choice questions. And one can usually figure out at least two wrong answers, and then you can guess on the third. It says, and you only have to get like 70% to pass. And I'm not saying I didn't do a little bit of studying, because a little bit of studying will put you over the top on those things. You'll actually... You know, you'll actually raise your score of, you know, maybe 10% from studying just a little. And I think it's got a thing of diminishing returns after a while. If you study too much, it'll start becoming it'll start not doing as well, so there's no point in really studying too hard on it, at least for me. So I studied a little bit, and I went and I took the test. I studied for the technician test, which is the first test, the bottom one. Because Now, when you take these amateur radio tests, it costs a little bit of money. It's not a lot. And you can take as much. You can test up to whatever level you desire. There's three levels: the technician, the general, and the extra. And while you're taking the test anyway, if it's not like a big time crunch for you, I always tell people, just take all the tests. Sometimes you'll get lucky. And boy, let me tell you, I did. I went and I studied, not very much, for the technician test. I took all three tests. I took all three sections. And I passed the technician part, but I also passed the general part. So for, I forget how many years, I had a general license, which is decent. It's pretty good. Most people don't go for the extra because it really doesn't give you a whole lot more in the way of operating. A general can get on every band, not the whole band, but most of the band, and can operate, and it works fine. So there's really not a big thing about getting the extra. But then, you know, I think maybe about 6 or 7 years later, I just decide, hey, I'm going to go ahead and get my extra, or I'm going to try for it. I didn't actually study for the extra. They actually give you the pool of questions and answers. Now, it's a huge pool, and they draw, I think for the extra, it's 50 questions out of a pool of, I think, 400, because it's made to make it so that nobody just sits down and memorizes all of the answers to all the questions. 400's too many, especially when you're only going to be asked 50 of them. But I actually, you know, there is a huge math section. It's like the theory questions on the extra exam, and I didn't study that particularly. I did read, you know, I think I breezed through all 400 questions. I tried. And I don't know what criteria I did. I think I did the normal thing of, you know, can you eliminate two answers pretty readily? And then it's a 50-50 shot, which is not bad. If you can apply logic to some of them, that makes your average a little bit better. And when in doubt, answer C. Answer C is statistically supposed to be the best. Now, when you do a computerized test, it kind of wipes out the C thing, but at least gives you something to do. The most important thing is to answer all the questions. Once you've answered all the questions, then you can go back and you can decide. And most people say that you should just stick with your first answer. Don't go back and second guess yourself. Chances are the second guess will be wrong. So I went and I don't remember really. Like I said, I didn't study. I went through the pool of answers. I decided what, you know. And I said, well, this is, I tried to put that into kind of my schema of how, you know, of whether it makes sense logically. And it seemed like a reasonable number of the questions made sense logically. And I got the right answers. So it's like, oh, and I didn't take a practice test. In fact, I rarely take practice tests. I've done a lot of information technology certificates, and I have quite a few. I haven't updated any of them in 500 years, and that's because I'm on the downhill slide, and I'm not trying for another job. I'm going to try. My intention is that this job will be my last computer job. I don't know what I'm going to do after this. You know, and I might go and just do some really kind of job. In Tucum Carey, there's plenty of jobs out there. Now, I'm not a big fan of customer service. You know, so we'll just have to see what I ultimately come up with. But it's not going to be about, oh, I need to make quite a bit of money. You know, I need to keep my money up. I said, no, I'm going to retire, and I'm going to have a reasonable pension. And that pension's going to be my income. And I think it'll work pretty dang good, because I think I've done quite well over the years. Anyway, so, regardless. So I went to go take the extra test. I was in Oklahoma City, and I went and found where they did that test, and I went and I did the test.
Wow, I didn't know that was a road.
Wow, that person's taking it. It's a road. Okay. Somebody's driving. Anyway, I passed. And when I walked up to get it, they said, hey, great, you just passed the last test you ever have to take for amateur radio. And it's like, yeah, it says, as long as I keep up my stuff, I'm good till 2028 this time around. The last time I re-upped it was in 2018. I went and got, you get a new call sign when you get new operating privileges. So when I got an extra, I got AG5 AH, and that was my call sign for a while. And then I just started poking around, because I know there's, at the time, you could get a vanity call sign, whatever call sign that you wanted, as long as it wasn't being used by somebody else. And it was free at the time. And I went and I found W5JSN, which is kind of cool, you know. It isn't the best for, like, Morse code. You know, there's some people that really say you really want to have a short call sign that is short from Morse code standpoint, but those don't come up hardly ever, and when they do, they are so pounced upon. And nobody was going after W5JSN, which is great. It had just been abandoned by some guy who had had it for 60 years, and I got it. And just for fun, it's probably one of the few vanity things I've ever done, was to get this call sign that's W5JSN, which is Jason. And JSN is also my initials, Jason Scott Nemro. And, you know, and like I said, if you just read those letters, JSN, it sounds like Jason. So that's cool. And I went out and in New Mexico, they have amateur radio license plates for vehicles. And so I got myself a W5JSN license plate. And so the car I'm driving right now is the fourth car that I've had the W5JSN plate on. And I think it's the third. Yeah. Okay. So there it is. I'm And I'm just, you know, and I got myself, I finally got myself a 2 meter radio. When I was in Portales, I would check in on the local net, the Greyhound Amateur Radio Club net. And I was a member of that amateur radio club, and I showed up, and you know, it was a good thing, and they were really trying to get somebody who was going to be there. They made me the treasurer of the club, you know, just because I don't think anybody else wanted to mess with the money, and there really wasn't that much money, but every once in a while we would do something, and we would have something. It was before the COVID pandemic, and it was just a bunch of old guys, and that's what the amateur radio hobby is. It's a bunch of old guys anymore. Not saying you can't be young and do it, but it just isn't very attractive to young guys very much. And they don't really feel like being a part of a club. And I'm not really much of a club person either. You know, and especially now in my life, I might get there. Tuca Curing doesn't have enough operators to really do a club, but everybody kind of knows each other there, and I've talked a little bit on it. I need to get better. I need to be more integrated into it, so I'm more of a part of things there. Anyway, so I've got my handheld radio, a little Chinese Baofeng radio, and I use it a few times, but I need to use it better when I'm in Socorro. There's a repeater right there, right next to my office, frankly, and so I get a lot of bouncing around, and there's a huge network in New Mexico that you can get on, and that one's been interesting when I've gotten on, and that I was monitoring people would pick up and say hi from totally different parts of the state. And these things are all, these repeaters are all linked, so that's kind of cool. I decided that I needed one for my vehicle. I'd actually gotten, with some of the stimulus money from the COVID-19 crap, I decided to buy a high frequency radio. It covers 10, I don't know if it covers 10 meters, but it covers all the higher meters, 160, 80, 40, 20, at least those. I really haven't worked much on the other frequencies. Bought myself some ham stick antennas and a magnet mount to mount on vehicles. And that's also been transferred between vehicle and vehicle. And I've had some interesting contacts. When I was up at a fire lookout station up west of Magdalena, New Mexico, I actually went up there, and while that, I applied for the job that I now have. Really interesting how that worked out. But I consider that a blessing from God. Anyway, I got that pulled together. I have not made any. I have not made a complete QSO from the crash site with my high, with my HF radio. It's only 20 watts, which is really underpowered. And of course, I don't do Morse code because I don't know how. You know, and I really, I've got a discriminator problem. I can't really hear Morse. So I just use single sideband, but 20 watts isn't good for single sideband. And I've tried to do some of the digital stuff and really haven't had any success with that yet. So my poor high frequency thing is really kind of just sitting idle. Someday I might pay for the amplifier that goes with it. It'll amplify it up to 100 or more watts, which is really good. You know, that one can get out. People who have 100 watts can pretty much be heard and work things and have conversations and stuff like that on HF. So someday I'll finally break down and talk Lisa into letting me. The sad part was it used to cost about $500. Now with inflation it costs closer to $700. And it's like, oh, I should have bought it while it was cheaper. You know? Anyway, so regardless, it's neither here nor there. I'll probably buy one of those someday and put up, and I'll put up a good antenna at the house. And of course, but right now I've got a 20 watt radio. It's got some problems. The really cool thing about it is all the controls are in the handset, so you can actually put the actual radio itself kind of out of the way, and you just have a wire that goes up to your handset. It's really nice, and gonna make it work on some level. So anyway, we're gonna get that working. We've got a few parts coming in for it. I'm actually gonna break down. I actually broke down and got a programming cable for this one because, you know, it's really a pain in the butt to program it by hand. I do okay with the handhelds. I'm pretty good at programming the handhelds. But this one's different, and it's got little things, and it's got these weird other settings that I don't know the right settings for. So it's easier just to get the software and to program in channels that way. Although I haven't seen any instructions on how to do it. Except through a programming cable and software on a computer. So we're just going to break down the cable only costs $10. It's like, yeah, I can do this. Anyway, so what's my other big thing? That's all I got to say about amateur radio. But yeah, I've been working on that. My dad's really into cars, so his hobby has a lot to do with cars. He's got a rat rod that he's been showing around. He really loves that because dad really just loves getting attention. And it's cool. So it gets a lot of attention. He goes to car shows and people come over and talk to him, and he shows off his car, and they talk about the old days, cars. Dad's whole generation, I swear, every guy was all about cars. Every teenager was cars, a car guy. Now, you have to understand that in those days, that was when amateur radio was kind of starting to kind of tank. Was in the 60s and the 50s. The real heyday of amateur radio was back in the 30s, 40s, 50s territory. You had a lot of hams. You would actually make your own radio to play. Now that's not as well done. I built some kits, and I'm trying to think. I actually ended up just building them and then selling them. Usually, not even for the cost of me having bought them, but having built them. You know, just mostly for the cost of how much it would cost to have just the kit, and you would get it built, because I couldn't guarantee that it worked, because I could never get it to work. Most of the kits are for lower power, and and that is CW, carrier wave. You know, being able to send and receive Morse code, which I can't do, and never got around to learning how, lately I haven't even tried to put in the effort, although, to be honest, I think I've got some time. Anyway, I may put in some time here, but to be honest, I really don't. Sometimes I just don't have the gumption for it. But that would make my 20-watt rig, I might be able to be heard. But to be honest, most people that do Morse code also do it at 100 watts or higher. So yeah, if you want to have a conversation with them, you have to practically match their power to be able to do it. Or you have to get on nets that are specifically for low power, so everybody's expecting it to be close by. And to be honest, there really isn't a lot of that, although I haven't really researched it much. There's quite a few amateur radio people in Albuquerque, which is only an hour away. But to be honest, most of them use two meter and repeaters to get somewhere. And I was really happy when I got my 20 watt 2 meter radio rig back up in here and figured out how to not short out the mic cable, which apparently is the problem with these radios, is they actually short out the cables. I could hear just fine. It was fantastic, man. Clear, beautiful. Coming in off a repeater, which I think was way over in Valencia County, about 30 miles away. I had luck one time with my handheld. I've got the thing so I could hook it up to my slightly better antenna in the back. But to be honest, I think five watts gets lost along the transit. And I ended up... but I actually got... I actually could hit the M mountain in Socorro, 5 watts. I think it was just a really good propagation day, and had a little QSO there. It was cool. You know, you got to appreciate the QSOs that you get. It wasn't a QSO. It was a net, and I was able to actually check in on the net, and that's always good. It's always a good thing to be able to do. It's a good place to cut your teeth is on nets, You know, they're really, you know, everybody's really nice, and as long as you have enough power to hit them, it works really good. You don't have to have anything to say, which is good for me because, to be honest, when it comes to the kind of things that radio people like to talk about, I really don't have much to say about it. Because there's two things you're not supposed to talk about, politics and religion. Now, you've probably noticed on my recordings, I don't talk a lot about politics. I talk much more about religion. And but that's still kind of a taboo subject. You don't talk about religion, you don't talk about politics. You know, you can talk about radios that you have and stuff like that. And it's really kind of... And, you know, and people don't like to hear, yeah, I kind of bluffed my way into being an extra. I said, but I did it. I passed the test. And you go, by sheer luck, and you go, oh, yes. He says, but that's, I said, can I be honest? You know, I said, that's how it works. I said, I don't have the technical skills of an extra, especially back in the days when you used to have to do, I think an extra had to do 20 word per minute CW, had to be able to copy it correctly and send it correctly at 20 words per minute, and it's like, I don't have discriminator. I don't have a discriminator in my head, which is really what you need. Is you have to be able to understand and copy. In the old days, with the technician's license or with the general license, it was 5. Or the novice, you could also get a 5 there. I don't know if it was 10. It doesn't matter. They got rid of it, frankly, because they were trying to keep the numbers up for amateur radio. They know us, and everybody said, this is the big barrier. This is why you can't get more people to get into amateur radio. Is they can't do the Morse code. And when they dropped that, after Europe dropped it first, and most of the rest of the world dropped it as well. Oh, this guy's bringing in tires. He wants to do an Earthship, man. Or something. And you're going, hey, man, groovy. My daughter does Earthships. She does it for the actual group, Earthship Biotechnic, or whatever it's called. She works for that outfit. Anyway, so, you can tell I'm obviously on the Jeep Trail now. It's a pretty nice Jeep Trail. As far as I'm aware, there's only really two people that use this road. Now, the further out you go, the less people use it. I am at the end of my Jeep Trail. Nobody goes beyond me, except for a couple of, for a guy that must be trying to sell some plots out here, because he put up a couple of flags, and it's like, oh boy, and they're real close to mine, so I'm a little nervous that I might have inadvertently parked the boat on somebody else's property. Of course, the big thing is most of these things are owned by people who don't care. And if you wanted to sell them, you usually just sell them. I don't know how much they buy them for, the guys who buy them, and then turn around and resell them at a profit, which is who I bought mine from, was from some guy who bought somebody's piece of land from them, or acted as a broker for them, and pocketed the rest of the money. I paid $1,500 for my acre, which I think it's on the low side. I've seen these go for $500, but at the time, and I'm really quite happy. I feel quite blessed. I'm kind of in a bowl, and I've got really almost complete privacy, and nobody goes by my place. My nearest neighbor, he's not very far away at all, but quiet, boy. I remember talking to him once when I said, I'm buying property out here. And he's like, boom. I saw some people come by. Go take a look at that. It's like, okay, well, I bought it. So it's mine now. Whoever it was that went by and looked at it, they're not going to get it because I got it. Anyway, so it really worked out really good. I just finished my second winter out here. I bought it in November of 20. As soon as I knew I had the job, I think within the next day or two, I went ahead and bought this property. And then I did the geodesic dome first, and it wasn't a bad thing. It was just that I didn't put the right cover on it. And the funny part is now I've done some more research, and I could have got a much better cover. And I could do it now, but there's really no point. I've converted the greenhouse. I got a really cheap industrial tarp and put it over that. It's done a really good job ever since. Where before I was just getting, what I had put up, which was just, you know, poly sheets. They're just getting ripped to shreds in the bed. But this one's done really good, and I'm pretty sure that I could get, for probably about $300 or $400, I could get another cover for this that wasn't just this. But now I don't feel the need, because my okay, I'm here. Because my because my boat does such good job. Got a boat, you know, and I just use it as a big RV, someplace to sleep, and I'll probably sell it someday, drag it back to Chicken Care and sell it. Alright. Another exciting week. Starts all over again. Oh, stars are out. Beautiful. See the glare from Albuquerque and Boone and Las Vegas. Okay. The moon's been coming out. It's probably about half moon now. Full moon before was amazing. It's about 9 o'clock and you see it come up over the horizon. A couple of last week before. Beautiful. I can see Orion over there. I gotta see that. Sorry. Can't believe I'm gonna go to the bathroom. Kind of hard to see the North Star because of the glare from the north, which comes from all the cities going to the north. There's just a little bit of glare coming from the south from Sapporo. But yeah, the big glare because Berlin's close, and then right behind it is Los Lunas, and then right behind that is Albuquerque. And so there's just a ton of light pollution. I don't like to call it that because it's like, don't call it light pollution. It's okay. It's life happening over there. Yeah. My boat. My God. I got a few things I can do with my boat. I got I got a solar controller now. And I've got some wires, and pretty soon Ouch. I need to hook up, my solar panel. I guess I got five of them here. My five best ones. I brought them out here when I had the facilities to do it. But more with your five panels out here. I still got 20 at home. I've never tested the 20. The 5 here, I think, actually, I did test. And, they all work the same. Chili. I kind of like it a little chili. I don't know if I always, I really don't recall what I saw in the party. To a large extent, it's quite like that. Well, you always see exactly the same things every time. Except for, okay, whatever. Oh. Yeah. Oh. There we go. All right. My mom bought me this light. When she knew I was going to camp it out, she's a wonderful soul. She's supportive of me in whatever I do. And that's real nice of her. You know, Dad's a guy that asks questions. It's not that he's not okay with it, but he thinks it's a little silly. He thinks it's crazy. But he's kind of an RV guy. He's done RV stuff, so it's not too far off of his... this whole process. I'm going to put this over here. Anyway. Well, my brother Joe thinks of it. I think he's just looking for projects. I was talking about putting in kind of a casita mother-in-law house out back of our house in Tucumcari, and boy, both he and Dad were like, hey, guy, let me know what's going to happen. We'll come. We'll help. And it's like, okay. You know, these are guys who are retired and just kind of looking for something to do. Okay. Well, I'm in. My mosquito net's back up. Ready for the season again. I don't know how much I need a mosquito net this year. Last year, we got so much rain, comparatively, that it was just, had mosquito problems. I'm a couple of miles from, my glasses. I'm a few miles from the Rio Grande River, so there's going to be some mosquito problems here. Not much, but they do come, so I've got a mosquito net so that I don't get eaten alive. Boy, let me tell you, for a couple of weeks there, I was doing all kinds of stuff I wasn't getting much sleep. And I was getting bit a lot by mosquitoes. And I tried some DEET. You know, the stuff that just spray on yourself that they don't like. And it might have worked, but it was like, oh, I don't want to be doing this. It's really expensive. And so I got a mosquito net and rigged it up inside the boat. So that I could leave the hatch open. When it gets warm enough, tonight's going to get down to like 38, so I'm not leaving the hatch open tonight. But maybe later on in the week when the lows are going to be nearing 50, you know, I don't mind leaving the hatch open so that air can blow through to make it more pleasant at night. Not a big deal this early in the season, but toward July and August and September, it's pretty hot. And it cools off at night. Usually it still gets down at least into the 60s at night, which is workable. But yeah, it really helps to have the entry hatch open so you can get some breezes. That works really nice. Anyway, it's late. I need to get to sleep. And I'm all bundled up already. My wonderful bedroll that I bought this winter. The first winter I had, I just used some backpack and sleeping bags. Used two of them. One for the top half of me, one for the bottom half of me. And I really wanted to get a bedroll that was big enough and long enough so that I just needed one bedroll. And oh, it's been excellent. I never felt cold this entire thing. I had to learn how to insulate my head. You know, had to put my head under the covers because the top of my head would freeze practically, and I'd get these headaches. It's like, oh gosh, I gotta stop doing that. And I would. Well, anyway, yeah. If I worked out, I'd make sure that was all covered. During the wintertime, I have a tough time because I need to breathe a little better. I can't just cover over my whole head and live with it like that. It gets weird under there. So I either expose my face or I expose at least my mouth so I can breathe. And my lips get really chapped and they crack and I have problems. And I try to keep chapstick on there, but it just doesn't seem to do the job particularly. And I have troubles. In fact, right now I still got a cracked lip, really. But we're getting to the time of year where it just stops because it's just not that much of a problem. So anyway, now it's warm enough at night that I don't have to cover my head particularly. And pretty soon we'll get to the point to where I don't need the bedroll at all. And I'll just sleep under the mosquito net and in my skivvies. And that's it. You know, because it's that hot. And so there it is. So really, okay, I'm going to go ahead and in this thing. It is right at 10 o'clock. And let's see. There we go. 1 hour recording. Really good. And I hope you have a great day. Talk to you later. Bye.